Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
Good morning, everybody. Jesus 911 on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. You are joining us with, we're going to give you some Catholic briefing, some Catholic intel. And I'm joined with my partner, Jesse Romero. Together we make up the Jesus 911 on Tuesdays and Thursdays. We call it Muscular Christianity. Good morning, Jesse.
Good morning, Ruben. And I'm reporting for duty, sir. And yeah, Ruben, Muscular Christianity, it's speaking about issues that make people uncomfortable. Not PC, just factual, just like Sergeant Joe Friday, just the facts, just the facts. Ruben, there's a big debate in the country about federalizing law enforcement and getting rid of local law enforcement, defunding them. There's a video I want to the audience to listen to, and then we'll comment on it. But essentially, I'll tell you in one sentence why abolishing local law enforcement would be a disaster and making law enforcement all federal. I'll tell you why. It violates the Catholic principle of subsidiarity, which means that the larger should never try to gobble up and swallow the smaller. The larger should respect the smaller and let the smaller operate at the local level. That's a Catholic principle that goes back centuries in terms of Catholic social teaching. So I'd like Mr. Engineer to play the clip, and then we'll give some more commentary on local police versus federal police.
Yes. Hey, yeah. We want to start with that prayer.
Oh, that's right. Our prayer.
Yep. Yeah.
Do it, Ruben. I forgot.
Prayer for the United States of America.
Of course.
By Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano.
Yes.
In nomine Patri, Filii, et Spiritui Sancti. Amen.
Amen.
Almighty and eternal God, King of kings, the Lord of lords, graciously turn your gaze to us who invoke you with confidence. Bless us, citizens of the United States of America. Grant peace and prosperity to our nation. Illuminate those who govern us so that they may commit themselves to the common good and respect for your holy law. Protect those who, defending the inviolable principles of the natural law and your commandments, must face the repeated assaults of the enemy of the human race. Keep in our hearts of your children courage for the truth, love for virtue, and perseverance in the midst of trials. Make our families grow in the example that our Lord has given us, together with His Most Holy Mother and Saint Joseph in the home of Nazareth. Give to our fathers and mothers the gift of strength to educate wisely the children with which you have blessed them. Give courage to those who, in spiritual combat, fight the good fight as soldiers of the Christ against the furious forces of the children of darkness. Keep each one of us, O Lord, in your most sacred heart, and above all, he whom your providence has placed in the head of our nation. Bless the President of the United States of America so that, aware of his responsibility and his duties, he may be a knight of justice, a defender of the oppressed, a firm bulwark against your enemies, and a proud supporter of the children of light. Place the United States of America and the whole world under the mantle of the Queen of Victories, our unconquered leader in battle, the Immaculate Conception. It is thanks to her and through your mercy that the hymn of praises rises to you, O Lord, from the children whom you have redeemed in the most precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Nomine Patri, Filii, Spiritui Sancti. Amen.
Okay, play the clip, local police versus federal police, Mr. Engineer.
There is a growing controversy regarding law enforcement in America. With every crisis, whether it is a bombing or a riot, there seems to be a growing movement that shifts the control of our local police departments to the federal government. Actually, this controversy dates all the way back to the ratification of the Constitution. Two of our country's founders, James Madison and Alexander Hamilton, were quite concerned over any federal power over local law enforcement, as were many others. As a result of this concern, the Bill of Rights was drawn up to limit federal power. The 10th Amendment confirmed that unspecified powers must remain with the states. Local law enforcement is one of those powers retained by the states, not the federal government. For us to better understand what is happening today, Let's examine the differences between local police and a federal or national police. First, with local police, they protect and serve the community they are part of. It is that community which holds the police accountable. National police would protect and serve a community they are part of. However, the federal government would hold the police accountable, not local citizens. Second, with local police, the chain of command begins with the mayor and city council, who are elected by the local citizens. With the national police, the chain of command would begin at the federal level through the Department of Justice. Third, local police are paid for by the local government. National police would be paid for by the federal government. Fourth, if you get in trouble with local police, you are charged according to local and state law. If you get in trouble with the federal police, you would be charged according to federal law. Fifth, local police have the power to enforce laws in their jurisdiction only. National police would have the power to enforce laws throughout the entire country. Sixth, if a local police department is corrupt, the citizens have the ability to change this through local elections. If a national police is corrupt, only a major social or political upheaval will change the situation. And seventh, local police enforce laws mandated by the state they serve. Currently, laws regarding things like firearms, substance use, gambling, and property rights may vary from state to state. National police would enforce laws mandated by the state and the federal government. America's system of government was created to allow competition among the states to suit local citizens. It is competition, not conformity, that produces better laws and government. America is unique in having a local police force that answers to the people rather than the central government. This very idea is under attack. There are federal programs that offer initiatives such as training or grants to local police for money or equipment. It may appear as a good thing for local authorities, but in the long run, it will only bring them under more federal control and move America closer towards a nationalized police. Be warned, a national police would give the president extreme power over the Congress, courts, and especially the people. The checks and balances between the three branches of government would be forever destroyed, with Congress and the Supreme Court existing in name only. Americans must never give up their liberty for a false sense of security. Our local police are key in limiting government power. If we want to maintain our freedoms, we need to support our local police and keep them independent.
Ruben, here's my comment on this. Federalizing law enforcement in all these major cities, this would be a disaster. Here's what the church has always taught. It's called the principle of subsidiarity. It says this: the teaching of the church has elaborated a principle of subsidiarity. This is paragraph 1883 of the New Catechism. According to which a community of a higher order, that would be the federal government, should not interfere in the internal life of a community of a lower order, that would be state law enforcement, depriving the latter of its functions, but rather the higher should support it in case of need, support the local police, and help to coordinate its activity with the activities of the rest of society, always with a view to the common good. The principle of subsidiarity, 1885, is opposed to all forms of collectivism. It sets limits for state intervention. It aims at harmonizing the relationships between individuals and societies. It tends towards the establishment of a true international order. In accordance with the principle of subsidiarity, 1894, neither the state nor any larger society should substitute itself for the initiative and responsibility of individuals and intermediary bodies. So what does that mean in basic blue-collar language? It means that the Catholic Church, the Church has always favored this principle of subsidiarity, which essentially means that things should be resolved at the lowest level possible. The possibility of resolution at the lowest level is always the way you should handle something before moving to the next level. And you don't want to involve people who are not part of the problem or part of the solution. I'll give you the principle of subsidiarity. Family problems. Who should handle the family problems? The family. Mom and dad. Okay? I mean, in extreme cases, you got to start calling the police. You got to start calling Department of Social Services. You got to start calling counselors, et cetera, et cetera. But the way the church says the way it should function and bring order back to the family should be mom and dad. Ruben?
That's true. Now, I have no problem with what President Trump is doing to try to bring some of these Democratic-run cities, bring some order to them for the sake of the people and their local police force. For the most part, they want the help, you know.
Yeah, but it's not permanent. It's not a permanent federal police. Yeah.
But when they're violating federal laws, like attacking federal buildings.
Oh, absolutely.
Then that's where the jurisdiction of the federal government comes in. So yeah. They'll charge them federally. Just like when we were working patrol, Jesse, we had a lot of undocumented people in East LA, and it wasn't our job to find out if they had documentation. You know, we were just asking for IDs so we can, put the right
ascertain
name on the
ascertain a crime or something.
Put the right name on the booking slip or ticket or whatever. But it wasn't our job. We weren't federal authority immigration officers. So
right.
And so same thing goes. We want to handle the local level. And if need be, then like you said, we rise up as needed. And
that's right.
Hey, we'll come back, talk about maybe finish up on this topic, and then we're going to get into some BLM topics. You want to hear this?
Sirach 11:24 says, "Do not say, 'I am self-sufficient. What harm can come to me now?'" According to St. Catherine of Siena, presumption is like vermin burrowing at the root of the tree of our soul. If we do not uproot it with great care and humility, it will eventually destroy the soul. May God keep us from all presumption of mind and heart, and realize that we depend on Him for everything.
Tummy.
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right, every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org, or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, we are back. And we're talking about the federal government, federal police versus state police. And, you know, I glanced at a story that was kind of funny, amusing to me, was I didn't read the whole article, but Jesse, you know this Portland mayor, this is a left-wing nut. He didn't want Trump to send in the federal forces. In fact, he was harping on how they were bringing more, doing more damage than good, and some of these Homeland Security guys were rolling up in unmarked cars and snatching up these protesters and you know, and getting them caught, catching them in the act, because you can't do that in a black and white. So
that's right.
They were jumping out of these minivans and snatching them up, and I was loving it. You know, that's what you got to do, man. You got to be creative. And this mayor, Ted Wheeler, he was he actually got gassed last night by these troops. He's standing in front of a federal building, so he got tear gassed, and you know, so he's out there slightly dazed and coughing, and somebody gave him some goggles and some water. But you know, that's what he gets. He wants to be out there with these knuckleheads.
He was out there with the protesters.
Yeah, yeah. So there you go.
Unbelievable. Yeah. I'm just guessing he was a Democrat, right?
Of course, yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
Portland, Seattle, all those states, they're run by Democrats.
Yep. Okay. Well, let's talk about the problem at hand here. It's an organization called Black Lives Matter, and they admit themselves that we're trained Marxists. That's what all the leaders actually say. Black Lives Matter is a Marxist revolutionary movement which is aimed at transforming the United States into a communist dystopia. It has nothing to do with Martin Luther King's civil rights issues. Nothing. Black Lives Matter states that it wants to abolish the nuclear family. And by the way, just my comment, that's the last thing that the black community needs. What they need is a stronger nuclear family, not the abolition of the nuclear family. Black Lives Matter, they also want to abolish the police, prisons, and capitalism. In other words, they want to just get rid of order, and they want disorder. Black Lives Matter have threatened to burn down the streets if their demands are not met. And they're also training militias. They're also asking for LAPD's budget. They want to cut LAPD's budget, which means longer response times by LAPD cops to emergency calls. Officers calling for backup won't get it. Rate murder assault investigations. Well, that's not gonna occur. It's going to take forever to initiate those investigations, let alone complete them, according to the Los Angeles Police Protective League, the city's police union. And Dr. Carol Swain, she's a black university professor. She says this. I've seen her several times on Prager University. She's very good, Dr. Swain. She says, white people are so confused in America. If there is systemic racism today, it is a racism against white people, in the sense that white people are told that they are responsible for all the evils in the world. A true statement from Dr. Carol Swain, university professor and advisory board member of Black Voices for Trump. She also said the following: we are all human beings in God's image. Black Lives Matter and Antifa and organizations like that will not help us transcend racism and classism and the isms that they are concerned with. These are things that can be done in the black community, or there are things that can be done in the black community, but the most important thing is helping people to realize how important their own attitudes are.
That's right. Those are the bullet points that we're going to hit on the rest of the article. Because this is shocking to some people. I mean, it's going to be shocking. And we need to get this in the hands of those people who are supporting this. Because, Jesse, we can be support our black friends and love our black friends and not support BLM. We can support our white friends and not support the KKK. Okay, so
exactly.
Yeah, so they're not mutually exclusive, man.
Yeah.
And so, I heard it said this weekend when, you know, a lot of us Christians, we say it on a regular basis, hey, I love you, brother. You know, I love you. And, you know, so that, and some people would ask, well, how could you love somebody when you don't even know them? Well, my question is, how could you hate somebody you don't know? You know, that's really what
makes no sense.
No, as Christians, we're called to love each other. So anyway, there was a recent survey by a Pew Research Center that found that two thirds of Americans support the Black Lives Matter movement. See,
that's disturbing.
The high level of backing raises the question of how much the public knows about BLM. That's right. So on the surface, BLM presents itself as a grassroots movement dedicated to the noble tasks of fighting racism and police brutality. But a deeper dive shows that BLM is a Marxist revolutionary movement aimed at transforming the United States and the entire world into a communist dystopia. And so this is the first article in a series of two. And the founders, they openly admit that they're Marxist ideologues. You know, their self-confessed mentors include former members of the Weather Underground, a radical left-wing terrorist group that sought to bring a communist revolution to the United States in the 60s and 70s. So BLM is also friendly with Venezuelan dictator Nicolas Maduro, whose socialist policies have brought economic collapse and untold misery to millions of people there. And that was a once thriving country, Jesse, with all the oil they have, and they just run it to the ground.
That was a preferred resort center for Americans, too, Ruben, once upon a time.
Yeah. BLM states that it wants to abolish the nuclear family, police and prisons, heteronormativity and capitalism. And the BLM and groups associated with it are demanding a moratorium on rent, mortgages and utilities and reparation for a long list of grievances. BLM leaders have threatened to burn down the system if their demands are not met. They are also training militias based on the militant Black Panther movement of the 60s. Hmm. And they also, it's not registered as a nonprofit organization for tax purposes. And they've raised tens of millions of dollars in donations. BLM's finances are opaque. So if you go to their website, BLM's donations are collected by Act Blue. You can actually see this on the website. I did it. I looked at it. A fundraiser platform linked to the Democratic Party and causes associated with it. Indeed, BLM leaders have confirmed that their immediate goal is to remove the U.S. President Donald J. Trump from office. And not only do they support the Democrats, but they're politicians. They're supporting organizations run by Soros, a couple of different organizations that Soros.
Ruben, BLM is nothing but the military wing of the Democrat Party. That's all it is.
Yeah. So, yeah. Okay, our last point here, I'll pass it on to you. Most importantly, the main premise of BLM is based on a lie, namely that the United States is at war with African Americans. Blacks are not being systemically targeted by whites. 50 years after signing the 1964 Civil Rights Act, more than 3 in 4 Americans, including most whites and blacks, agreed that real progress has been made in getting rid of racial discrimination. I've been saying that all along. Scholars have noted that BLM's inability to produce solid empirical evidence of systemic racism explains why its leaders continue to broaden and deepen the indictment to include the entire American social and political order.
Yeah, because they don't have the facts on their they can't point to any particular cases.
Yeah.
And so they're just saying, oh, the whole system has to be burned down. Oh, the whole system. They speak and see, that's when you know when you're talking to a liberal. Liberals use bumper sticker slogans. They speak in generalities because they have no facts. They have no specifics to point to. And the fact is, this is why, again, they're trying to cast a wide net. All white people are racist. All police are trying to kill us.
Right. So it's like a defense attorney. He doesn't attack the facts. He clouds it with all these other things. Like if the glove don't fit, he must have quit. There was racism in the OJ trial. Racism. The police officer said the N word a couple times. So all that stuff to obfuscate the truth. Go ahead, Jess.
That's right. Well, here's a brief history of Black Lives Matter. They began in July 2013 when George Zimmerman, a 28-year-old neighborhood watch coordinator of Hispanic and German descent, he was acquitted of homicide charges in the 2012 fatal shooting of Trayvon Martin, a 17-year-old Black high school student in Sanford, Florida.
That's the boy that would have looked like President Obama's son. Remember he said that?
That's what he said.
And Zimmerman is not even wasn't a police officer, by the way, but he always gets that case always gets lumped into the police shootings.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Then we have Alicia Garza, a Black woman from Oakland, California. She's one of the three founders in recent times. She posted to Facebook what she described as a love letter to Black folks. She wrote, "I continue to be surprised
at how little Black Lives Matter. Black people, I love you. I love us. Our lives matter. Goddessa knows Hispanic, that, so she may be half Black, half Hispanic, because Goddessa is a Hispanic name. Then we have the second protagonist for BLM. Her name's Patrice Cullors. She's a Black woman from Los Angeles, California. She then put Garza's Facebook post on Twitter with the hashtag Black Lives Matter. And after seeing the hashtag, a third person kind of jumped in to the mix. Her name is Opel Tometi. She's a first-generation Nigerian-American woman from Phoenix, Arizona. So she's here from my neck of the woods. She partnered with Garza and Cullors to establish an internet presence. And so Opel Tometi, this Nigerian-American, purchased the domain name and built the BLM's digital platform, including social media accounts, where they encourage people to tell their stories. The hashtag Black Lives Matter gained national attention in August 2014 after the fatal shooting of 18-year-old Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, by Darren Wilson, a white police officer. The hashtag was ubiquitous during riots in November 2014 when a grand jury decided not to indict Wilson. By 2018, the hashtag Black Lives Matter had been tweeted over 30 million times. Mm. And since its beginning 7 years ago, Black Lives Matter has grown into a movement with nearly 40 chapters and thousands of activists in the United States, Canada, and Britain. What began as an effort to seek justice for Black people has become far more expansive and more radical in its demands. And what's sad, Ruben, is something like over 200 major corporations are donating money to this communist organization, along with their one of their major funders, George Soros.
Well, we need to defund those people, those companies, and, you know,
unbelievable.
Stop frequenting and buying from them. But Jesse, maybe that's why this lady's from your neck of the woods. Maybe that explains why President Trump is down in the polls over there in Arizona. Yeah, that used to be a solid.
Yeah, you're right.
Solid red state, right? So
yep.
What's the agenda? So BLM's worldview is based on a mix of far left theoretical frameworks, including critical race theory and intersectional theory. Critical race theory posits that racism is systemic, based on a system of white supremacy and therefore a permanent feature of American life. And we'll talk about intersectional theory when we get back. We're listening to Jesus 911. Don't change that dial. Be right back.
Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eyes to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. www.CovenantEyes.com. Code VMPR. Live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
Healthcare news today seems to be coming from everywhere and everyone. It's confusing, at least, and untrustworthy at the worst. Dr. Aceta is a faithful Catholic in the Kern County community. He is trustworthy, well-researched, and will only give expert opinion on matters in his own specialty. Catholic teaching at its entirety is of utmost importance to Dr. Aceta. Give Dr. Aceta a call for your obstetrics and gynecological needs at 661-695-6617.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, we are talking about the BLM and the true facts about it. Jess, I want to just remind everybody that I will be Sunday, I will be going out to the Cathedral of Our Lady of the Angels on 555 West Temple Street, L.A., and we're going to be praying the rosary, 15 decades of the rosary, along with the prayer warriors that have been going out there with a lady by the name of I met her last week.
Laura Chavez.
Laura Chavez, and she is doing some wonderful things. They're creating an army out there. So join us out there. If you listen to the radio show, come out
What time, Ruben?
From 11 to 1.
Okay.
And you can park right on the street. There's no, Sundays they don't monitor traffic rules. And then park on Temple or park on Hill Street. And we'd love to see you, and I'd love to meet you if you come. I met our friend, Frank Gutierrez, his son, this Sunday. He came up to me and introduced
himself. Oh, did you?
Yeah, his son was there. Nice young man. I told Frank, hey, you've done well, man.
Yeah, he has. He's done well.
That's right. So,
yep.
Look forward to seeing you there Sunday. And we're talking about this. This article mentioned critical race theory and also intersectional theory. So, intersectional theory, asserts that people are often disadvantaged by multiple sources of oppression, the race, class, gender, identity, sexual orientation, religion, and other identity markers. So Black Lives Matter and other purveyors of critical race theory and intersectional theory reject individual accountability for behavior.
That's the key word right there. You just nailed it.
Accountability, yeah. Yeah. Criminal or otherwise, because according to them, blacks are systemic and permanent victims of racism. Such racism, according to BLM, can only be defeated by completely dismantling the American economic, political, and social system and rebuilding it from scratch, according to Marxist principles. And Black Lives Matter seeks to replace the foundational cornerstones of American society. One, they want to abolish the Judeo-Christian concept of the traditional nuclear family, the basic social unit in America. Number two, they want to abolish the police and dismantle the prison system. Number three, mainstream transgenderism and delegitimize so-called heteronormativity. That's the belief that heterosexuality is the norm. And four, abolish capitalism, a free economy, and replace it with communism, a government-controlled economy. And just like...
Wow, sign me up.
Yeah.
Where do I sign up for that society?
Jesse, like Margaret Thatcher once said, he says, sooner or later, you run out of other people's money. You're going to dismantle the police and the prison system. There's no police and empty the prisons. It's going to be anarchy in the streets. If they think that what they saw, the little taste of Seattle.
They see nothing yet.
That's right. Nothing. The only thing that's going to stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. We've said that over and over again.
Ruben, and this whole thing about intersectional theory, I guess, these are probably sociology terms that you probably remember reading when you're. This critical race theory and intersectional theory, this is just another way of giving somebody an excuse to say, I'm lazy. Mm-hmm. I don't want to take responsibility or accountability for my actions. Don't blame me for my bad behavior. It's the system. It's the white man's fault. It's because I was born in the ghetto. I was born poor. That's why I do what I do and I behave the way I behave. It's not my fault. It's the system's fault. That's exactly the interpretation of those fancy words, critical race theory and intersectional theory.
And that's what was going on in St. Louis, Jesse, when the district attorney Didn't prosecute any of them, any of those people up there for rioting and looting and breaking, destroying things. And they filed charges against the couple that pulled guns when their property was being infiltrated by the BLM. I heard the state attorney general is going to just make those charges go away because it was.
He has common sense. I heard him on a news on an interview. He says, "Oh yeah, this is." They were doing the right thing, and we're going to dismiss those charges.
Good, good.
So it was a man with common sense in high government, which is not that common these days.
Mm-hmm.
Next section here says, this would be a disaster if they implement this, Ruben. Yeah. Abolish the traditional nuclear family. In the policy agenda of BLM, they state that it is committed to abolishing the traditional nuclear family. They say we disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure requirement by supporting each other as extended families and villages that collectively care for one another, especially our children, to the degree that mothers, parents, and children are comfortable. Now, here's my comment. Can you imagine living in little places like Chad or Chop, whatever they want to call it? That's what they want. That's what they call their extended families.
Summer.
The article Karl Marx and Frederick Engels rejected the traditional family because, according to them, the nuclear family as an economic unit sustains the capitalist system. Yeah. Wow, people want to make money for their family. How terrible is that? Frederick Engels wrote, quote, "The care and education of the children becomes a public affair. Society looks after all children alike, whether they are legitimate or not." Sounds to me like what Hillary Clinton said, it takes a village to raise our children. Many experts have noted that African Americans need stronger, not weaker, families. In March 1965, Daniel Patrick Moynihan, an assistant secretary of labor under U.S. President Lyndon B. Johnson, wrote a groundbreaking report which focused on the roots of black poverty in the United States. The report linked the many problems plaguing African Americans, crime, joblessness, school failure, out-of-wedlock births, to the breakdown of the traditional nuclear family. So,
right there.
When Moynihan's report was written in 1965, 25% of black children in the U.S. were born out of wedlock. 50 years later, in 2015, more than 75% of black children are born out of wedlock, according to the National Center for Health Statistics.
Unbelievable.
20 years after the Moynihan Report, Glenn Lowry, the first black economist to earn tenure at Harvard University, lauded Moynihan as a prophet. Here's what he said, this black economist said about Moynihan's report. He said, quote, "The bottom stratum of the black community has compelling problems which can no longer be blamed solely on white racism and which force us blacks to confront fundamental failures in black society."
There it is.
"The societal disorganization among poor blacks, the lagging academic performance of black students, the disturbingly high rate of black-on-black crime, and the alarming increase in early unwed pregnancies amongst blacks now loom as the primary obstacles to black progress." Thomas Sowell, an African-American economist and social theorist, he opined that the Moynihan Report of 65, he says, quote, "may have been the last honest government report on race."
Ooh, wow, there it is. Quote.
By contrast, the African-American civil rights activist criticized Moynihan for blaming the victim.
There you go. That's why Larry Elder could call them victocrats, because they got that victim mentality and they're obviously Democrats. That's
the two go together.
That is huge. This is what this paragraph that you just read, Jesse.
This is a bomb, Ruben. This paragraph, this is a show right here.
And when Moynihan was coining this report, he was looking at 25% as being outrageous. How could that? There's a problem there. 25%. And had he been around today, you know, maybe he's still alive. I don't know. But that he would be, you know, shaking in his boots at what he sees. Because the next topic is they want to abolish police and prisons. So BLM states that it wants to defund and ultimately abolish police and prisons in the United States. Police officers would be replaced by educators, social workers, mental health experts, and religious leaders who, according to BLM, would bring down the levels of crime. So in an interview in Newsweek, one of the founders of BLM, Colors, she said, quote, "The freedom of mostly white affluent people is predicated on the unfreedom of black people. So law enforcement is not actually used to keep black people safe. They're used to patrol, occupy, harass, abuse, often hunt, and mostly what we've seen is kill our communities."
Unbelievable.
"Policing and incarceration are part of a continuum. The policing is the first response, and then incarceration is the last response. And these two systems rely on each other very, very deeply. We have to be working on getting rid of both systems." And she says, so in an interview with Hollywood Reporter, Colors explained that she is not merely an activist, but a modern-day abolitionist. An abolitionist believes in a world where police and prisons are no longer weaponized as a tool for public safety. Can this lady be so wrong about this? You know, the police go where the crime is. The majority of police, they have to be in the inner cities because that's where the majority of the crime is. And the majority of crime is being committed by the black population. That's just a fact, you know.
Yep.
We just saw in Chicago the other night, two nights ago, there was 14 people shot at a funeral, Jesse, and Fox covered it. It was a breaking story, 14 people shot as they were at outside of a funeral parlor. And they were burying somebody that had been shot a block away. And you know what? CNN and MSNBC didn't even cover the story. A breaking news story like that. 14 people shot, rushed to the hospital.
And it's recorded. There's people, somebody was taking video of it.
Exactly. Yeah. But that just shows you it doesn't fit with their narrative. So because it's in a Democratic-run city and they don't want to.
And it's black-on-black crime, black, so that's black, not newsworthy.
They don't want to cast a dispersion on Chicago because it's run by their people.
Ruben, I just read yesterday from the news agency that as of yesterday in the city of Chicago, Illinois, there's been 2,150 black-on-black shootings.
Yeah.
2,000. I mean, it's just July. We haven't even finished the year yet. We got five more months left. 2,150 blacks have shot other blacks in Chicago, Illinois.
Shootings are up 47% and murders are up 51% in Chicago alone. So you want to defund them? Who's going to investigate those murders? There's already more than 50% of murders go unsolved because they don't have the manpower. They're just happening so frequently. And, you know, I know a lot of people in homicide that it takes, you know, it's painstaking job to talk to all the witnesses and lack of witnesses. All right, we'll come back and finish this up. Be right back.
Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eye to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. www.CovenantEyes.com, code VMPR. Live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products A portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio, and it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, we are back. You know, the shortest distance between a problem and a solution is the distance between your knees and the floor.
Amen.
Get some knee time, people. We're on this one topic about what they want to do is defund the police and prisons. And it says one of the founders, Opal Tometi, she's in an interview with the New Yorker, claimed that policing in America has its roots in managing slavery and therefore is systemically racist. She explains that we've been fighting and advocating to stop a war on black lives, and that is how we see it. This is a war on black life. And people understand that this system is filled with all sorts of inequality and injustice, and that implicit bias and just outright racism is embedded in the way that policing is done in this nation. And when you think about it, historically, it was founded as a slave patrol. The evolution of policing was rooted in that. But Washington, D.C. Police Chief Peter Newsom has warned that underfunding police departments could cause an increase in excess force by police officers. He says, the number one thing that contributes to excessive force in any police agency is when you underfund it. If you underfund a police agency, it impacts training, it impacts hiring, it impacts your ability to develop good leaders. The L.A. Police, protectively, the city's police union said that the budget cuts would be extremely irresponsible. Cutting the LAPD budget means longer responses to 911 emergency calls. Officers calling for backup won't get it. Rape and murder and assault investigations won't occur or will take forever to initiate it, let alone complete. And a poll showed that most Americans, including most blacks, do not share BLM's views on abolishing the police. A recent Rasmussen poll report that 63% of American adults regard being a police officer as one of the most important jobs in our country today. I agree. Furthermore, 64% are concerned that the current anti-police sentiment will lead to fewer people willing to become police officers. That is true. And that will reduce public safety in the community where they live. Importantly, according to the Rasmussen report, blacks, 67% are the most concerned about public safety where they live, compared to 63% of whites and 65% of other minority Americans. It's that small percentage of the criminal element that is affecting the larger majority of good people in the communities. And it's also, Jesse, the Board of Supervisors here in L.A. County have put it on the voted to put on the ballot in November a move that would defund the sheriff's department by 10%, which is equivalent to about $1.5 million or more. And they say we want to put that money towards other, you know, social work, other things inside the community. Well, take the money from somewhere else. You know, why do they have to take it from the police force? You know, they can find money. They're taxing us up the yin yang over here. anyway, I'm getting in my soapbox. Go ahead, Jess.
Yeah. Let's bring some closure to this. What are the evaluations of the Black Lives Matter agenda? In an interview with Chanel Ryan of One America News Network, Dr. Carol M. Swain, a black university professor, public intellectual, and advisory board member of Black Voices for Trump, she said the following, quote, "It's very clear to me that the Black Lives Matter organization is about something much bigger than black people, that it really is pushing a socialist Marxist agenda." She says, "White people are so confused in America. I hate to say it like that, but I don't know any other way to say it. They want to signal to black people that they care, and the only way they feel like they can do so is to agree with the slogan, which is a true statement that black lives matter in the same way that all lives matter. White lives matter, brown lives matter, but they can't separate the slogan, which is a true statement, from an organization that has a goal that I believe is ultimately destructive to America. She makes a good point.
That's exactly what the Board of Supervisors here in L.A. is doing. They're catering to the black. They're saying, see, we're doing our part. You were calling for defunding the police. We're doing it. They're just wrapping it up differently so that it does, you know, they're not telling the community, hey, we're defunding them because the Black Lives Matter are calling for it. Go ahead. Okay, so.
Yeah, here's my point. Those three words, Black Lives Matter, that's a true statement. That's a no-brainer. That's like saying the sky is blue and water is wet. That's a true statement. But the point is, the organization Black Lives Matter, nobody should support because they're a communist front.
Yep.
So people need to separate the two words, Black Lives Matter, which is a true statement. God would say, yes, that is true. They're my children as well. I died for their sins. But we need to separate those three words from this evil organization that has co-opted those three words to usher in socialism in the United States of America.
Right. So there's something very wrong when they argue that racism is permanent. If it's permanent, then there's nothing we can do about it. That white skin is property. That means that people who just happen to have been born white, they have property that gives them advantages over blacks. That's a quote. And if there's a systemic racism today, it's a racism against white people in the sense that white people are told that they are responsible for all the evils in the world, that racism is permanent, and the only way they can redeem themselves is by divesting themselves of their whiteness. It involves a shaming of young white people. If you have white skin, you're supposed to have all these white privileges. I contend that there is black privilege and brown privilege. It's really about social class. And she says, the sooner we get away from defining everything, even the police brutality, as racism, the sooner we can bring everyone together as Americans.
By the way, this is all from Dr. Carol M. Swain. I know she last year was teaching at Vanderbilt University, and she's a black American female, and she is just just huge on common sense.
Go ahead, Jess.
Yeah, she says, we are all human beings in God's image. Black Lives Matter and Antifa and organizations like that will not help us transcend racism and classism and the isms that they are concerned with. There are things that can be done in the black community, but the most important thing is helping people realize to how important their own attitudes are. I would argue that a person's attitudes are more important than race, gender, social class, and determining whether or not they are going to be successful. I'm going to interpret what she's saying here. If you always see yourself as, I'm a victim, I was born in the ghetto, I was born in the barrio, I'm a minority, the man is against me, nobody likes me, nobody wants to give me a fair break. If you're just pumping your mind with negativity and despair, of course your behavior is going to reflect, you know, what you constantly bombard your mind with. And she says, your attitude. I mean, I know people that have been born in dire situations. They're saying, you know what? I'm going to make something of myself. I'm going to be somebody. I'm going to break out of the shackles of poverty and ignorance in my family, and I'm going to do something with my life. Why? Because they're focused. They're people of faith. They're seeking, they're asking for God's help. And then they're also that synergistic. Say, Lord, I'm going to put 100% of my will and effort into, you know, becoming the best version of myself. By your grace, I'm going to be able to transcend the situation that I was born into.
Well, that was like that movie back in the 80s, I believe, Steve Martin. He says, I was born a poor black child. He was, you know, it was a spoof on that because he felt that he was going to be kept down because he was born into a black family. And it's a funny movie, but, you know.
With a good message.
Yeah. So yeah. Columnist Josh Hammer wrote that the American system of governance and way of life is under existential threat by groups such as BLM and Antifa. He says, quote, the modern left is enthralled to the anarchists of Antifa, and the Marxist Black Lives Matter has positioned itself as a political movement that stands athwart the American regime. At an institutional level, Democratic Party leadership is increasingly a dog wagged by the tail. That is Antifa and Black Lives Matter. And that tail is openly conceded in movements of candor, is resolutely opposed to the idea of America itself. There is no alternative way to comprehend the ardent desire of those insurrectionists who, channeling the very worst of Mao's cultural revolution, would deface and demolish societal tributes to the man who wrote the Declaration of Independence, Jefferson, and the man who brought to fruition its ideals, Lincoln. Could we ask for a more clarion call, clarion demonstration of the dripping disdain with which the left views the entire American project? It says, we are now in the midst of a cold civil war between Americanists, proud defenders and preservers of the American regime and the way of life, and the civilization arsonists who seek to burn that regime and the way of life into the ether. Yes, we are in a fight for America's soul, but we are also in a fight for America itself. You know, Jesse, hey, go ahead.
Yep. If you like what you hear, then like us and hit the subscribe button and share this show with others. I think we're talking about topics with total clarity and honesty that most people wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole. The only ism that really matters that will be able to bring everybody together is Catholicism. Catholicism under the social reign of Jesus Christ. That's the answer to the mess that we're in, is that as Pope Pius IX said in 1925, that Jesus Christ may one day be reign as a king in the hearts of every single man and woman and the hearts of every nation. Catholicism is the only ism that will destroy racism, discriminations, and the shackles of being a victocrat. Catholicism is set up by God the Father to restore order on planet Earth after the fall of Adam and Eve through his son Jesus Christ. And Catholicism, when it's practiced and lived authentically, you see people from every tribe, tongue, and nation worshiping the one true God, which is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and bending the knee at the Eucharistic Lord, God incarnate, who has now become the bread of life here on planet Earth.
Preach it, Jess. You know, about a year ago, Father Heilman wrote something on three things that we have to do. There's three things, three primary choices. You could hide. You could be a draft dodger, and this is what all too many Catholics are doing. They're doing this. So-called good Catholics, people I know, good friends of mine, who want to bury their head in the sand and say, you know, well, it doesn't affect me and my family directly. So I'll just keep on doing my little routine and let someone else deal with it. You could surrender. Okay. That, you know, you could say, hey, okay, well, I'm just going to go out there and protest with these, show them that I'm also for BLM, you know, that I support black people. You know, you could surrender and go that route, or you can get in the fight, as Jesse was saying, get in the fight. This is the position of the sheepdog.
That's right.
To protect the weak and the vulnerable. We have the faith, the true faith and belief that, and we need to lead others to Christ and get involved. If you want to be used by God, you will be used.
Amen.
All right, so We'll be out there on Sunday because we got to open the churches. And we got
11 a.m. to 1 p.m.
11 to 1, Cathedral of L.A. Because from here, the other bishops take their marching orders from Bishop Gomez. So
yep,
we got to go right to the top. He doesn't want the bad publicity. Well, he's if he doesn't get involved, he doesn't open us up, he's going to get bad publicity. All right, you've been listening to Jesus 911. Stay tuned for Hands-On Apologetics with Gary Mashuda. You've been listening, and we love you. Keep up the good fight. Pray your rosary, not once, twice a day. God bless you.
We're out.
10-7, Jess.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. Oh my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to Thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou Thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of Thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.